Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you caught the budget meeting the other day with the Board of County Commissioners, there was a lot of talk about things like Forest Creek Apartments. There was a lot of talk about Three Mile Bridge. There was a lot of talk and very good comments from several commissioners about the cleanup that we've been involved in and the recovery. And I think so too. Honestly, I still cannot believe that we had an almost Category 3 storm and almost everything is back to, other than the bridge, is almost back to near normal within a week. That is amazing. Janice Gillis, she is the Escambia County Administrator. She joins us now. Janice, welcome back to the show. First thing I just want to tell you, you have been out. I mean, I know you're exhausted. I know everybody on your team is exhausted, but you have been at every one of these press conferences. You have been briefing people, giving them good information, and, you know, making, I'm sure, very difficult decisions behind the scenes. And so I just want to take a second and praise you and your team for the work that's been done so far.
Thank you very much. I mean, I still have members that I don't think have gone home yet. So from the EOC, there are a lot of dedicated individuals, and we also had a lot of dedicated folks come in from other communities, and I hope to get them recognized today as well. But our team members have been going nonstop and have been doing everything they can to try and protect our community and provide services to them.
I have seen that, and especially as we all know, in such an unexpected, horrible event, because we all believed, everybody believed that it was going to our west and then east, oh crud, you know. So especially as a response to all of that as well. I know one of the and by the way, I loved your list yesterday where you gave off the list of all of the charitable, religious, most of them Christian organizations who have been helping. That was eye-opening to me too, to hear from all of those folks as well. One thing I know is the sort of big topic politically that you guys are dealing with right now is this still delay on the formal declaration, major disaster declaration by FEMA. I think a lot of us are still unclear why the delay is in place. And I even had somebody tell me yesterday that they thought it was something that maybe we didn't do right, that like we delayed our application or we didn't collect the photos. That's why the request for photos has been such a big push. Can you just maybe clarify anything you know about why it's taking long?
Yeah, so one of the things is, so the state of Florida is more stringent with our, State Department of Emergency Management and our teams in terms of the way that we handle categories for damage, individual and business damage. And so we have a checklist that we have to use whenever we're going out and doing that. And that checklist is what we use to do the preliminary assessments for damage. Our teams were out in the field immediately, and then we were joined by the state and FEMA to do those assessments. We have provided thousands of addresses, photos, along with the addresses to demonstrate the damage. There was a glitch that at first did not necessarily link up because, as we all know, there were issues with connectivity throughout the community. And so GPS, satellite, and, your Verizon or AT&T's were not necessarily connecting. But once we got those back into the office and got that got that connectivity worked out, everything was, has been provided to the state and FEMA as needed. So there was only a little bit of an issue in terms of connectivity. But other than that, we've provided everything. DEM, everyone has let us know that we've provided everything we can. One of the things that you have to do in these storms is you have to fight for every single penny. And when the FEMA director was here, he made it very clear to us that there would be things that they would approve and there would be things that we would want. And so it would have to be, back and forth. And individual assessment, individual assistance and business assistance may be one of those issues that we're going to have to go back and forth on to continue to demonstrate the damage. And so that's why we wanted to get photos from the citizens. We have our technical assessment photos, but what we need from the citizens is we need to be able to continue to tell their story all the way up the chain.
Okay,
so that's why we've asked for photos.
Okay, so that so there's kind of these two parts, and people don't always realize how this process works, but there's the public assistance portion, which is the reimbursement to government of expenses incurred, such as damage to facilities, but also things like the debris cleanup, which is going to run to, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And that part of it we have high confidence on. That's the part that we know is coming, or, I mean, we all assume is coming. But the public assistance, the writing of checks to individuals, or any of the elements that might come to individuals or to businesses, that's the part where he indicated we are going to have to maybe be back and forth or push harder, and that's why we're asking for all these photos and damage from individuals. Do I have that basically right?
Yes, yes. So, absolutely. The, you know, structural damage and then also internal interior damage can, you know, can be perceived different ways. So that's why we want to make sure that every single structure gets properly, you know, gets the proper level of damage recorded. So our teams are going to continue to be in the field making sure that every single house has properly been, has been properly, you know, assessed.
So is it, I mean, okay, so Commissioner Bergosh and Bender, Commissioner Bergosh and Underhill were both on my show the other day, and they said, call the government. So we put up a big post, call the government, do this, contact Rick Scott, Marco Rubio, the White House, et cetera. Where is the hang up at this point? Or is it even not a hang up in terms of getting that disaster declaration?
What do you mean?
Well, we don't have it yet. Are we, I mean, what, is it, it's because Alabama got theirs on Sunday. Do we, like, why don't we have ours yet? Or do we just not know? I mean, which I understand we may not know, but everybody's kind of wondering why is it taking, it seems like it's taking too long. Do we know why it's taking long? Or is it just not taking long and our perception is wrong?
I would say that it's not necessarily, so we do feel like it's taking a long time. Part of that, though, is because of the assessment. Florida does assessments, you know, because we have so much territory that is exposed, has so much exposure. Our assessments are extremely complex. That's number one. Number two, you know, the state of Alabama did do a pre-storm declaration, as I've mentioned, and then they also have the benefit of having a United States senator who's also the chairman of the House of the Senate Appropriations Committee. So there, you know, there are some other issues that have been kind to Alabama. But I would say this, our governor, our senators, our congressmen, our entire delegation, all of our county commissioners have been extremely engaged in trying to get this particular declaration. So, and we're not going to give up. We're going to continue to fight. If for some reason individual assistance is not part of this first declaration from the president, we will absolutely make sure, that we continue to fight for that, because we're not going to let people go without that support.
And by the way, the email, at least one email, is news@pensacolachamber.com. Is there a different form of contact that the county wants, or are you guys working primarily through the chamber for those damage pictures and accounts? I didn't know if there
so,
was.
I'm
I didn't
sorry,
know
if, can you?
I didn't know if there was a different. I just wanted to make sure that people who are listening know where to go with the stuff. It's news@pensacolachamber.com is the one funnel source that I have. I just didn't know if there was another one the county was operating. It sounds like not. Is that the chamber?
Yes, we have one as well.
Oh, all right.
We have one as well, and I will make sure it's in our. It is available in our update. We've given we have given a website, an email address that you can get them to.
Janice, one of the other things I know you've been working on, and by the way, you were the first person to mention this on our radio show last week, and you have been engaged in this, trying to get some kind of boat service, ferry service back and forth with Gulf Breeze. You guys had a meeting, I guess, with FDOT and some other folks yesterday.
Go ahead. Yeah. What I did was, is I was aware that there were about 50 different conversations, okay? And those 50 different conversations weren't coming together. So I did what I would call a convening. I convened all the parties yesterday, the city of Gulf Breeze, the city of Pensacola, we are the National Park Service, ferry operators, all of our transportation and other folks, other city staff. And look, I don't want to be necessarily in charge of this, but somebody needed to, you know, convene. And so all we're providing is the opportunity for everyone to coordinate. We set up into teams. to start looking at ferries in terms of, you know, how you would manage the ferries, where they would go, how you would manage, you know, citizens getting on and off, and then transportation either once they hit our side or the Pensacola Beach or the Gulf Breeze side. I mean, this is going to be an integral piece of our community probably for the foreseeable future. And one of the other things that we did was we had a team that divided up the financing of this. You know, ferries, no matter where they are, in the Northeast, the Northwest, in North Carolina, wherever, they are typically government subsidized. So, you know, that's one of the things we have to look at. How are we going to get financed? In the meantime, we are kind of looking at like a Dunkirk model where there are private charters and other people that are just maybe they're going to start ferrying folks, you know, with their charter boats and stuff like that. There are liability issues that are going to be part of that. So we'll have to make sure that, you know, they have the right capacity, they have the right, you know, that's not me, that's going to be the city of Pensacola and the city of Gulf Breeze. But they're going to start looking to make sure that they're safe for operation for passengers. Until we can get the big boats in.
Right. So so there's going to be sort of interim ferries, and then depending on the length of the outage, something a little bit more robust as time goes on, which makes sense to me. At this point, is it too early to tell? I mean, are we talking about? I assume we're not talking about free. We're talking about there's going to be some cost to the end consumer. But do we even yet have any picture of what that cost is going to be to the person who comes and rides the ferry?
No, sir. That we will have that. We will probably have that. We're hoping to have an implementation plan. We're having another full meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we're hoping to have, you know, because this is the thing. We're going to have the Florida Department of Transportation help us do this procurement, because those ferries need to be handled by Department of Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get that procurement out, and I know that there are several companies and other people that are ready to respond ASAP, that then will give us the information that we need in terms of how what the cost will be and whether or not there'll be, you know, passes, weekly passes, monthly passes, things like that. You know, our major concern is that we have an entire population of citizens that work at the beach.
Yeah.
And we also have residents that live at the beach. But, you know, there's also people that have a finite source of income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a limited source of income. And so we want to make sure that it's not cost prohibitive for those as well.
Absolutely.
So, there are a lot of factors that are going into this conversation, but I would say, you know, anyone that's traveled the country and even the world in places like Greece and Italy and places like that, I mean, ferry systems are not uncommon around, I mean, India. I mean, I could give you all kinds of countries where ferries are very common day practice.
Right.
And so maybe this is an opportunity for our community to adjust to an alternative transportation plan.
Well, I know you, as I said at the very beginning, I still think you have been doing amazing work. Your whole team has been doing amazing work for the tiny amount of sleep that you all have gotten. By the way, that email address is HurricaneSally@MyEscambia.com. Nice and simple. HurricaneSally@MyEscambia.com. Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, thank you so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.